You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to the Monday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. It is your host, Tony East, with the Westside Indianapolis Community News, and your co-host joining me today from Indy Cornrows is Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you?
I'm pretty good. So if anybody hasn't checked out Friday's podcast, Tony had actual quotes from Pacers players. Like, he went to the Friday, I guess, press conference is what it's called.
Practice.
But that's pretty cool. So Tony's practice and then gaggle afterwards, but whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called, but he had inside scoops on Vic and it was pretty good. So Tony's moving up in this world, getting some sound stuff for this podcast. So you should check that out.
And they were accurate in my predictions that Oladipo would play.
Don't forget. You did, but you kind of went back on that too. You sent me a text.
Dylan went back.
You sent me a text. Well, you first said he's going to play. And then you said, wait, no, he's in a gray jersey. So he's with the backups.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was so odd. But then Nate McMillan said he was going to play. So it didn't matter.
Yeah. When Nate McMillan announced him in, it was cool. And then he announced Bogdanović out and it was sad again. It was an odd week, but their long breaks off really helped them because they absolutely just dominated the Bulls last night, but you're hearing this 2 nights ago.
I was honestly not sad Bojan didn't play. He's been playing garbage, and that's one of our topics later.
That's one of our topics later. Does that injury matter? But big takeaways from that game. One, the Bulls had a schedule alert thing, which is something ESPN's Baxter Holmes and a team has been tracking, which just talks about when teams travel a lot and have a lot of games and a lot of nights, like scheduled losses, and the Bulls had 5 games and 5 nights and had traveled from Dallas. So take this game with a grain of salt, but the Pacers looked awesome.
They did. Like you said, I took it with a grain of salt, but I took one positive for sure from it was Vic looked healthy and looked like he had the same energy. The knee wasn't any lingering issues. He looked a little bit out of game shape, but that's just because he hadn't played in about 2 weeks. But so that was the positive. You know, I don't really care the one that they won by 39 points because the Bulls were clearly just exhausted. But the fact they looked like the same team before his injury was just a positive sign in general.
It was, winning by 39 is even though they're tired, they won by 39. Like that, you can't take that away from them. They did play really well, especially with Vic in the game. Game high plus 29 for Oladipo in only 23 minutes. That's just exactly what you wanted to see from him. So it was really good. You know, season high in assists in only 23 minutes too is just awesome stuff.
And we should talk about this too. It's just what a great week Sabonis has had. He had 24 against the Bucks. He had 22 against the Bulls. He is playing at kind of a level I think we saw at the beginning of the season. He had lost it for a little bit, kind of midseason once Turner returned, but he's been awesome. I mean, he was 10 of 13 against the Bucks and 9 of 12 against the Bulls. I don't know. He was a plus 21. He made a three. That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
it was kind of a weird rolling three.
It rolled around like 7 times. Yeah.
But he's just been awesome. I mean, and I don't know how that affects going on for the future, like what happens to the trade deadline, but he's kind of playing himself into the sixth man, if maybe not even shut to be in the starting lineup at some point.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's been bullying guys inside. He's been the best rebounding big in his minutes when he's on the court for sure. And he just looks like a really good pick and roll player. He's got good chemistry with everybody. You know, that was awesome to see.
Yeah. I don't want to preview the rest of our show because we're going to be doing it, but basically we're talking about Sabonis and we'll talk about some trade deadline stuff. But I just thought, especially after when Nate McMillan said a couple games ago, they're looking at lineup changes. I thought Sabonis was maybe the guy they might insert in the lineup at some point. He's had a great week. And if he keeps this up, I think he's definitely going to be making it hard for McMillan to keep him on the bench, you know, for less than 20, let him play less than 20 minutes a game. He's going to need to play 27, which he played against the Bulls, but they're going to be giving him at least more of Thad minutes if he keeps playing as well.
Yeah, and Thad has that thigh injury, so that's another reason you might see more Sabonis. But a couple other takeaways from this game. One, last time probably of the whole season that Corey Joseph's going to lead the team in rebounds. He had 10 rebounds, which is awesome. TJ Leaf had his best game of his career significantly. 6 of 6 from the field, 15 points, made 3 threes, made all 3 of his attempts on his way to 15 points and a plus 15. He was really good for a stretch in the early second quarter, and then he played the whole stretch to end the game, finished with 6 rebounds. And then Joe Young also in 20 minutes had 11 points. So, you know, a lot of the young guys trying to crack the rotation really put a name on themselves in this one.
Yeah, Leaf, clearly the wonders of being down in the D-League have helped him because clearly he's been working on his game. So, I mean, again, the Bulls were very tired and kind of let these players play without any checks. Leaf wasn't very wasn't being checked very hard by defenders. So that helps because he's kind of a smaller guy. So anytime a guy kind of bodies him up, he gets kind of in a pickle. But I mean, he was good, and hopefully he keeps getting better in the Mad Ants. I hope they send him back down. I hope this isn't like the game where they said, oh, we're going to keep him up. I think he needs to stay in Fort Wayne for at least another 15, 20 games just because he needs to keep working on getting stronger and building up and get working on a shot. But clearly he's doing something for him, which it's good. You know, it's a good sign for Leaf. It makes, first of all, makes his trade value more, and also just is a good sign that when you got you drafted, the first round doesn't look like a complete dud through what are now almost 40 games in the season.
Adam is in trade mode.
I am in trade mode. I got to stop with it. But the other thing from the game is we should talk about is Damon Wilkins started and then he got cut.
I had one more thing I was going to say about the game, and that's that they held Robin Lopez to two rebounds.
That's reminiscent of the first time they played the Bulls too. Robin's had a terrible game big that time too.
Big time stuff. But yes, you nailed that transition too. Damian Wilkins, who hilariously has been removed from the box score because he got waived on NBA.com, started this game, played 22 minutes, had 11 points, hit three threes. And then today he was waived because the league-wide cutdown date is coming up and they need him to be off the team when it comes.
Yeah, so Tony predicted this. He said it when they signed Poitras from his two-way to an official contract. They were going to cut Wilkins because they wanted the extra roster spot and his contract wasn't guaranteed after January 8th. But Wilkins still made over $1 million for playing all of 152 minutes. Tony did the math before the show, about $6,000 per minute. So as much as we might feel bad for Wilkins, who has a kid on the way and all that stuff, he still made $1 million after spending 3 years not in the league. So I'm not feeling too bad for him.
We have to be thankful for his service. He didn't totally suck, which we thought he would before the season when they brought him in. Everyone's kind of puzzled by that, but he didn't totally suck. He was able to at least kind of contribute in his 19 appearances. But he gets cut today because he needs to clear waivers by January 10th at 5 p.m. And now he will clear waivers on January 10th at about 2:30 p.m. So his non-guaranteed contract is officially off the books for the rest of the season. And his cap hit is about $1 million. So the Pacers save about $455,000 in cap space with the move and gain a roster spot.
Yeah, and the reasons just emerged of Joe Young, who has gone from being a not even in the rotation to at least playing some minutes, has sort of also put Wilkins on the outside because they no longer needed that other guard. Before the season, there was the concern, is Joe Young ready to play any NBA minutes? And he's been fine for almost a month of December. He's been pretty decent.
He has looked like a rotation player recently. So somebody, I hope it's still up, number one, just tweeted his splits on Twitter, and I want to see if I can find it really fast while I'm still talking. But, you know, the other thing with Wilkins is the roster spot is something big here because they can sign guys to 10-day contracts now. I don't know when they'll start doing that, but who knows? And they can also take guys into their cap space that they now have. So pretty interesting reasons to do that with those. I'm on the right guy who tweeted these splits out for Joe Young, and I can't find it. Man, this is tough. We'll just skip that. But yeah, Joe Young has been playing really well recently, and you know he's been playing alongside Collison and Joseph as two-point guard lineup. So the fact they're able to do that means they don't need another two guard just hanging around.
Right. So does Joe Young still have another team option next year?
He does. Yes.
So if the way he's playing, you think he comes back? Because he's really cheap. He's still probably under $2 million, which is
$1.6 million. Yep.
Yeah, which is ridiculously cheap because he's on one of those previous rookie scale deals before the CBA jump. So like that's less than 2% of the cap. So I don't know. He might be playing himself into another pickup for another year, which wouldn't be bad for him. You know,
earlier
in the year he had that we talked about it last podcast, I think, where he had the picture of him working hard in the gym. So he clearly has kind of trying to figure out what he has to do to be in this league. And maybe he's learning from being behind Collison and Joseph because they're going to probably need a backup point guard next year. You know, he's technically the only one they control control Collison too, but you know, they don't control Joseph and Collison could be on the out because he's so expensive. So if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I think he might play himself into at least somewhat of a backup point guard role next year with the Pacers.
Yeah, who really knows? At least they have some youth in the pipeline that looks like a competent player. So, you know, good for him for keeping it up.
Yeah, it's just part of this whole, you know, the Pacers' whole team looks, it's got a bunch, they kind of, once they made the Paul George trade, they sort of flipped this young look with Sabonis is pretty young. Joe Young he's not young-ish. He's actually the youngest guy on the team, but Turner is young. Leaf looks decent. You know, there's some roots of a, you know, and then Robinson comes back. There's kind of roots of this where this team could be in 3 or 4 years. It's looking more positive for the future despite losing George.
It is. And some of the 10-day contracts that they could sign could also add someone to that list. And the two-way contract that they have available, which has to be used in the next 8 days, could also add someone else. So looking good. Things are looking good on the old cap ledger and the old franchise outlook.
Yeah, but then we can talk about some not-so-good news, at least for you, with Bojan.
Ah, Bojan missed the Bulls game. He was the reason Wilkins was able to start with an Achilles injury, and we don't know if this is lingering or anything like that. Well, hang on. First of all, McMillan said it was an Achilles injury in his presser, but then I heard sprained ankle, and
sprained ankle.
Yeah, so it's something in his foot, preferably in the back of his – or not preferably, probably in the back of his foot, but – who knows if this is a lingering thing or not, because he's been struggling recently, but it's tough to hear your starters get hurt.
So can I read you some stats from – so Bojan's November month versus December month. It's kind of crazy if you look at it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You probably looked at it. So in November, he was putting up like 16.5 points a game, 53% from the field, 48 from three, 85 from the line. He had three rebounds. He was having, you know, probably his best month maybe of his career. He was looking like, you know, we both wrote articles about him. Could he be the future at, you know, small forward for the Pacers? But then in December, he fell back off and is averaging about less than 12 points a game, less than 32% from three, and only 40% from the field. So hopefully this was a lingering thing and he can get better. But I don't know if I saw the lingering thing because they didn't ever list it till recently, but they also have been kind of quiet on a lot of injuries. Like Thad Young's had multiple different injuries throughout the year. They've kind of released about and sometimes don't. We didn't know about Vic's knee really. You know, he hurt his knee back in whatever in on Thanksgiving weekend when he didn't play against the Celtics. But I don't know. Hopefully this was a lingering thing. That's why he's played so bad. But if not, it's not a good sign.
It is not a good sign, and I'm hopeful that it is a lingering thing and that he will come back better than ever whenever he does come back. Who really knows though? That could that's just something to monitor.
Because remember, Tony is the biggest Bojan fan on this team. He was right. And at the quarter mark, he said, "Oh, I was right about Bojan," and then he might not be right.
That I'm still right. Seasoned. He was helpful.
You're still right, but when we do a half season preview, you might not be right.
Who knows? Who knows? But is there anything else we need to talk about before we move on to the preview of the first two games of this week?
We were gonna do the buyer and sellers thing, weren't we?
That's right. That's right. This is a good question that Adam kind of threw towards me before we started recording, and it would be interesting to hear from you guys what you think. But anyway, the Pacers, the trade deadline is in exactly a month from the day you're hearing this, on the 8th. So should the Pacers at the trade deadline be buyers, sellers, or should they just stand pat with their current roster?
Well, so I did a podcast last Thursday or Friday. I think I posted on Friday, actually, about whether I thought they should sacrifice short-term wins for long-term success. So the interesting thing I was just looking at was in retrospect, after the Vic's injury, this team around Vic and around, let's say, George last season didn't really get that much better. If you look at the team's first 39 games last season, this season's the same exact record. If you look at Vic's stats this season for his first 34 games, in George's first 34, he also missed five of his first 39 games. They're almost identical. Vic's like a slightly better in points, but a little bit worse in rebounds, a little better in assists, and about the same on steals. So my thought is kind of they probably should be sellers because they didn't really get that much better. You know, we were thinking at one point, oh, this team is actually better without George. I don't think they're really better. I think they didn't get any worse, but they didn't get better. And last year they should have been sellers, I think, at the deadline. And so I think that it's time to kind of look to the future because they've got at least Sabonis and Turner, young guys who have potential to be starting players in the team, maybe even all-stars someday. And then they got Leaf and Young, who look kind of decent right now. So I think they should maybe start selling some young guys into the lineup, especially with Robinson's return.
So Oladipo and Turner and Sabonis and Leaf and Glenn Robinson and Joe Young and EK and Poitras, all under 25 years old and all, you know, have played a role at least, besides Glenn this year, but have played a role at least in the Pacers' success recently. I think you got to realize, all right, this team's pretty young. And their older guys who don't fit the timeline should be, you know, maybe not shopped, but looked around. You know, if anyone wants to give up an asset for them, the Pacers should look to do something like that with, you know, the 30-year-old Collison, the 28-year-old Thad, 29-year-old Bojan, Corey Joseph's 27. I mean, Corey Joseph's right on the fringe of being a guy you'd want to bring back. So, you know, if guys like that, if teams want them, you know, maybe you think about it. But I think they might just stand pat and see what the offers are, but I would lean towards they should be sellers, but I think they will probably do more standing pat.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think you can't trade both Corey and Collison. You got to choose one.
Agreed.
Just because, but I think that I think it might be time. I'm nothing against Thad Young, but he's just, I don't think he quite fits with this team the way the Pacers thought he could. And I think he's going to have good value on the trade market because he's kind of a stretchy four. But I think it's time against the bonus in starting lineup. And I think it's time, especially if Robinson comes back, he can play a little four. Poitras can play a little four. I think it's time maybe to get rid of that, especially if you can get a first round pick for him. I mean, if you get something in the late 20s, like a Rockets pick, that's maybe 30. That's, remember, Kyle Kuzma went 27 last year. So it's some value. You could get a player. You could hit on it. Who knows? But I think it's time, because mainly I think it's time to get the bonus into the starting lineup and get that out of here.
Yeah, exactly. And with him especially, it's just like, what's the point of paying him $13 million next year to be a guy who – takes minutes from Sabonis, and you know, obviously he's a good player that you want to have, but you don't want to be paying a guy $13 million to stunt someone else's growth. And you know, he's an expiring contract, so you might as well get value for him while you can. Things like that just make Thaddeus Young a very obvious trade candidate.
Yeah, and we talked about before the show in our little pre-show meeting. We kind of do whatever it's called. so we both kind of agreed they should be maybe sellers or stay hold, but we thought I thought maybe they could be buyers in certain circumstances if they're buying a really valuable player. So like they have a bunch of expiring contracts in Bojan and Collison and Jefferson. They could piece together, maybe go after Conley. Kemba, you're not so high on, but that's just kind of the thought. Could they go after somebody really big? Because you look at the Pacers, their kind of weak spots are, they need a 3-and-D small forward, and they need to probably – they get elite level point guard that would really help Turner's game and would probably help the whole team in general, because I don't think they have that elite of a point guard in the roster. But so that's kind of the two spots if you go after an elite guy, but I don't know how many of those are available and whether they could pull it off, but that's just the thought.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with superstars, you got to make sure you're getting positive value, because, you know, obviously the team trading them away has all the control, but, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. I know the Kemba rumor is swirling, and it's not that I don't like Kemba Walker. I think he's an excellent player. I just think his bad defense will hurt Turner, and he doesn't fit great because of the one ball thing with Oladipo. And, you know, who really knows how long he'll be here? We'd only have 1.5 years of him. So, you know, it's a tough sell for me, even though I get that he's an excellent player.
Yeah, I'm with you on Kemba. I think we both agree if you get Kyle, they should, but there's also concerns with him on injury and stuff like that. Yep. I don't know. I just think an elite level point guard, especially for Turner, would help improve his game to a level that I think that it's still missing. Because I think he still is struggling with his post game, which he's going to have to work on this summer. But if they can bring in a good point guard and he improves his post game, he all of a sudden goes to the next level. He's already taken a little jump this year just because his defensive, you know, skills are so great, and he's kind of proven that he's a pretty decent jump shooter, but that's kind of the next step. And they just think they need a better point guard in place for him, because I think with centers, a lot of times it's relying on how they get the ball, necessarily, you know, it's kind of where they get the ball and how they get the ball. Not necessarily they can't create their own shots all the time. You know, they're not Porzingis. Yeah. You know, Turner's not going to be Porzingis, but he could be. I can't think of one on top of my head, but, you know, Dirk was kind of guy who benefited from really good point guards like Jason Kidd when he had him late in his career. It's just that kind of player.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if shots are set up for him, you saw it against the Bulls, he can really knock them down. So that is a very good point.
Yeah, I don't have anything else on the stay hold. I think we both kind of are leaning. We're leaning towards stay hold, but could be sellers.
Yeah, and in either one of those, I would totally understand, and would, you know, I'd have no problem with either buyers. It would have to be a great deal.
Yeah, I would agree. Mike Conley, I'm going to start him.
Any 3-and-D, like if the Pacers had Robert Covington, which they won't trade for Covington, and the Sixers wouldn't give him up. But if they had a guy like Robert Covington, that'd be awesome. But I have to look around to find the right guy for
that. Can we address one thing? The fact that Paul George said this week he's probably going to LA. And that I think sealed that the Pacers won the Paul George trade. Can we call that?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I mean, it was funny to see Thunder fans be like, what? And I have to be all shocked for the first time. But yeah, Paul George didn't say that for sure, but he said, oh, it'd be awesome to play for the Clippers and Lakers in front of my parents, who I just dapped and played in front of. And he's gone. He's leaving the Thunder.
Oh, he's out of there. I'm not sure. He might go to the Clippers. They can figure out to get the cap space. Get rid of DeAndre. They might be vying for that, because the Lakers seem kind of like a mess. There seems to be some locker issues there. But just the fact, I said it before, they basically traded, a top 15 player and got a top 15, 20 player in return. So that's why they won the trade. Plus, they got a bonus. That's why they won the trade.
It's over. It's over. The value is already over. They won. Once Victor Oladipo has proven that this is who he is, like, not as a fluke, it's over. They won.
Yeah, because he's offensively the same level as George. I think George is still a better defender, but Oladipo is no You can't put his defensive skills down too. What do you have? How many steals he had against the Bulls? Six.
Oh my gosh, he had like five in the first quarter or something crazy. I don't have that box score pulled up anymore, but oh my gosh, he was unbelievable in that first
crazy dunk where he like I think he
a putback. Yeah, first back of the game. No,
he also had a steal where he went down and like tomahawked the dunk, dunked it in basically.
Yeah, on the fast break. That's right.
He would be great at the dunk contest too. Maybe you should do that too.
No, I don't want him getting hurt with his knee. No dunk contest for you.
fair enough, but I think he'd be cool.
It would be cool. But I think we should pivot to talking about the upcoming week. Well, I guess there's four games, so we will do the first half. They play the Bucks and Heat Monday, Wednesday. Let's do those games, starting with the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Pacers just played the Bucks without Oladipo, and Sabonis had an awesome game, and no one else did, and they lost by 11. Now they're back home against the Bucks with Oladipo. The Bucks and the Heat, ironically, are 21-17, which is fifth in the East. They are sixth in offense, 25th in defense, 20th in pace. But with them, it's obviously all about Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis is really good. I think he might he's not gonna win the MVP. We talked about this last Monday. He's probably third in the MVP right now. But I'm hot take right now. If Jabari comes back and plays like he did last season, I think the Bucks could win the Eastern Conference. I think they're actually the second best team behind the Cavs, not necessarily the Celtics, but I also have a Celtics bias in my own team. I don't like that. But I think they're really good. I think that they're going to have a lot of lengthy players in Middleton when they have Middleton, Parker, and Giannis out there with Bledsoe. That's a dangerous team. And if Giannis can go toe-to-toe with LeBron, he might be one of the only guys in the league that can do that right now. If he could do that, they could beat the Cavs. Because, I mean, I think Isaiah looks good with them, but the Bucks are a really good team when everything is going right, but then they have the coach. So who knows?
Yeah, they played really well against that Pacers. They were able to clear out the lane a lot on high pick and rolls and just get a 1,000 lobs. And, you know, that's something that Pacers are going to have to try to correct in this one. I know Jordan Tresk, who was on with me to preview that game, talked about how, you know, Bledsoe and Giannis' creation has really taken this team to a whole new level. And you really saw it in that game.
Yeah, and the first game, too, this is the first real test for the Pacers because Vic didn't play last time. They just got run off the court like they had in every game Vic didn't play. And this is the first test because the Bulls game, I'm not really counting as a test because of just the scheduling. But if they can beat the Bucks Monday, I'll think, okay, this team has gotten past that slump. They lose to the Bucks, I'm going to maybe start getting concerned again, especially because Pacers are barely hanging on to that 8 seed at 20-19. They need to go on a 3 or 4 game winch to kind of push themselves back away from the 8 spot, which they easily could. They're only like a game and a half back of the four seed or 5 seed, so they could get back into it. That they're not that far behind it, but this is the game where if they can win this game, I will feel better about them than I did, you know, 2 weeks ago after they lost.
Injury.
Yeah, the injury. Basically, let's call it the injury.
The injury. Yeah, I agree with all that. And especially with teams like Miami and Milwaukee who have they're 2.5 games ahead or whatever. They're just right there. If they can, you know, string together a few wins, they're right back with these teams in the 5-spot area. So, you know, pretty crucial that they can at least, maybe not even if they don't win, just look like they were hanging in it the whole time and don't look awful.
I think at home they got a win.
They
got their closer back in Vic. So, you know, that was an issue against when they played the Mavs last time at home. They couldn't have their closer, but they got Vic back. So I think they should be able to win. I don't know if they will win, but I think they should be able to win because it's a home game and the Bucks, despite Isaac calling them the second best team in the Eastern Conference, I think they still have their flaws at times, but I think at their apex, they're as good as the Cavs, but I don't know if they will get their apex game on Monday, per se.
Yeah, I don't really know what to expect. Something to monitor, too, is Dellavedova, who, you know, is probably their best guard defender in general, might be suspended for this game. If you haven't seen it yet, against the Wizards the other night, he was guarding Bradley Beal on a fast break and just totally clotheslined him two hands, slammed to the ground. He was ejected. It was a pretty dirty play. So Deli might be suspended for this one, which would add a new wrinkle for the Bucks because after Bledsoe, their point guard they'd probably have to move Brogdon. Someone new would have to play. So just something to monitor.
Yeah, they'd probably shift Brogdon back in the rookie last season. That'd probably be the move. But Jason Kidd's a bad coach.
We talked about that with Jordan as well. Yeah. We thought it would lead to a good game for either Bojan or Collison, but everyone just totally sucked. So it led to a good game for nobody. But yeah, Jason Kidd is not a good coach and he could make some funky adjustments. Jordan said, you know, sometimes a guy plays 25 minutes and the next night doesn't play at all. So you really have no idea how they're going to fill a void if one does exist.
Yeah. I'm also interested to watch just the Vic Giannis matchup to see if Vic can get, you know, Vic has this incredible ability to get around players around the rim, but I don't think he can get past Giannis's long arms. So something to watch there too. But I say, like we said it last time, let Giannis get his 30 and hope you can sign everybody else, because they can't let Middleton get 27 again. That's what killed them. Middleton at 27 points. He's been playing great, but if they could stop Middleton, that's how they can win.
Yeah, Middleton absolutely went off, especially in that third quarter when they really took the game over and pulled away, because the Pacers got within like five or something in the second, if I remember correctly. But in the third, yeah, that's when they really put it away. And another guy they might have to focus more on stopping is Brogdon and Thon Maker. You know, I knew that the bigs did pretty well on defense for the Bucks, but Brogdon having 17 points was really something that sunk them too off the bench.
Yeah, and go back to Pacers players too. Maybe Sabonis was having a good game. He seemed to figure out how to play them.
He was great in the short roll against Thon.
Yes, he was. He really took advantage of that on the bench. Just because Thon Maker is still kind of a thin kid, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yes. Kid.
But
I put in air quotes.
Oh, right, because he's probably like 30. I forgot. I mean, it's his third year in the league, second year in the league now?
Yeah.
But he might be 30.
It's hard to preview games against teams that they literally just played. But another thing.
Yeah, because I don't
know what else to say, like a matchup change. But they were 3-for-15 from three. That is something they'll have to do much better on if they want to be in this one at all. Bojan was 0-for-4. The starters in that game made two threes. They were a combined 2-for-12, so you're gonna have to see a lot better than that if they want to be in this one.
Yeah, that was kind of my other point too, which is was gonna be Bojan needs to play better if he plays. It sounds like he probably will, and we'll be lucky that we won't get 15 shots from Lane Stephenson again, which is always
okay. Good, you said.
I know he made 7 of them, but minus 20 on the floor. But Bojan's gotta break the slump if they have any shot. I mean, just have any shot of making kind of a run, because he was critical in that stretch where they got to 19-14. He was critical in that run. So he's got to come back off of something, at least start shooting close to 40% from three. Because if they don't have a chance, he doesn't shoot close to 40% from three. They don't. Because when he hits his three, he even touches the floor just that much more. Because Vic already kind of does it, but then if Bojan can shoot his three well, it kind of pushes everybody out a little farther, and then it opens up everything else for Vic to go to the rim and help set up other guys going to the rim. So they need Bojan to step up. I mean, it really helps also Sabonis too sometimes, because then it gives him one-on-one matchup down low in the post.
Yeah, something with Bojan too is against this Bucks team that traps the way they do. You know, he'll get open looks, and you could see him spacing the floor. Even though he was kind of bad shooting, he was a minus 10, which was the best of every starter by over 7 points. So his impact is still felt in the Milwaukee game. He just couldn't knock down the shots.
Yeah, he's got to find his stroke back. Hopefully, maybe he iced the ankle, got some rest, and he's now feeling better. Let's hope. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. My roommate just texted me to tell me that I need to talk about how good Boomer is as a mascot. So quick shout out to my roommate for listening to me podcast from the other room. But you'll see Boomer twice in a row as they play the Bucks in Heat. But anyway, back to this. Do you think that they will win this game? Let's hear your score predictions.
You know, I think they will. I think they'll pull out a close one. Do we want to do scores, or do we kind of hit every butcher and every X factor? Do we want to touch those? It's kind of, I don't know. We talked about every player on the team.
Middleton was clearly our butcher after that first game.
Yeah, and I think we think Bojan and Vic are the X factors probably.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. I think we, I forgot to actually put titles on them, but I think we kind of did that on accident already.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. We do that a lot. Though I think the Pacers will win. I think they win by between 2 and 4. So let's say they win by 3, just to put the difference. Let's say they win like 106-103.
That's pretty good. I was going to say like 108-105, 108-104, but I also think they win this game, and it'll be a close one.
Let it be known, 108-105 is your favorite score, I think.
It is my favorite score. 108 is my favorite Pacers score. Also,
yeah, well, you say
Shams Charania right now on Twitter. The Bucks just signed Sean Kilpatrick to a full NBA contract from his two-way.
Oh, good for him.
So maybe you'll see Sean Kilpatrick in the Matthew Dellavedova role for this game.
Yeah, he played 4 minutes against the pitcher last time, 1-for-2. Didn't have a huge impact, but he played, so maybe we'll see more of him.
That literally just happened. Breaking news. Anyway, yeah, I think it'll be a close one with Vic back. It'll be a totally different game, so should be fun to watch.
This is the game that if they don't play well, if they play like they did against Detroit with Vic, then we should all be screaming at the top of the hills, be concerned. But if they look good, then we can all get over the fact they lost 5 straight games because he was hurt.
Exactly. But let us transition to the team that they had a dominating loss against and a dominating win against, the Miami Heat. All right, so the Heat, like the Bucks, 21-17, like I already said. They are on a 3-game winning streak recently. They are 27th in pace, so slow, but 12th in defense, 23rd in offense. They kind of just grind you down, Miami style with good defense. Are you worried about this one at all, or what are you thinking for this one?
So the two times they played Miami, it was like a totally different team both times. I mean, like Pacer team wise. Now the first game, that was like the first Victor Oladipo game. He brought him back in the fourth quarter. He had 28 points. But then the second time, it was Turner played second game, not the first one. Turner played great, and Bojan played late, and they dominated from the start to the finish. It was just a complete domination of a game. But I don't know if I'm concerned. I can't tell what you're going to get. You know, Waiters isn't going to play. Winslow isn't going to play. So that's going to definitely help. They're still kind of short on guys. That's just, you know, that's two rotation guys missing, and probably their second or third best player in Waiters, considering where you put Dragić on their team. So I'm concerned, but I'm not super concerned. I think it's another winnable game. It's at home. They're not playing a back-to-back, so that's not an issue. I think they should win, right? They should win.
I think they should win too. And like you said, there's a lot of injuries going on in Miami. Still no Rodney McGruder or Carl White's missing time. Justice Winslow's been out for almost a month now, and Waiters hasn't played since about Christmas time. So, you know, it's very odd that they are missing so many guys, and they've won three in a row, but I think missing so many guys might help the Pacers in this one.
Yeah, and what's even, I think, crazier about the two different games is that, so Whiteside didn't play the first game and lost. Whiteside played his second game, and actually Miles Turner is the first guy, I think, this season I thought he actually played better than the other team center, who I thought might be better than him. So last season, Turner got dominated by Winslow. There are two or three games they played against them at least. But this season, Turner actually played pretty well when they played them. He had 11 of 14 on the field. Is probably his best game of the season. But, you know, there's a lot of games going thinking Turner's going to get dominated by the bigger center. You know, Drummond's that guy. Drummond dominated Turner all four games they played. So it was good to see him kind of go toe-to-toe with Whiteside, and hope he can bring it again, because maybe his confidence is over Whiteside now. You know, it's getting over that hump. If he can just pass certain centers, he kind of helps his stats in the league. You know, he goes from being a top maybe 15 center to a top 10 center, then to a top five. But he's got to go toe-to-toe against the better centers in this league and beat them, and Whiteside's one of them.
Yeah, they really rocked that pick and pop last time. And I know Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra he's very into the modern NBA, so he's okay with giving up mid-range shots, but Turner's money from the mid-range. So they sagged so far down on the pick and pop that Turner was able to get free for a bunch of easy ones. And Whiteside hasn't changed. He never will, that he's a good rim protector and horrible in space. So pretty good opportunity for Turner to have another good game like that first one, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree.
His first one because he missed the first game.
Yeah, you give him the mid-range shot. I mean, he clearly probably did miss. He probably missed one or two mid-range shots, if that. I don't really remember his exact shot selection, but I'm sure he hit five or six shots in a row from the David West spot, the free throw line. That's where he was money from the Pacers.
Oh, you're right.
But then Bowen had one of his best 3-point shooting games, 6 of 10. He's got to do that. He might have to do that again, but Bojan performance at least.
That game was the start of the Bojan bungalow, I'm pretty sure.
Was that the start of it? That sounds right. That was about the
about it.
Yeah, that was. Oh, so I'm trying to think. That was like, that might have been a little bit even after, because he's played pretty well from about game 10 on, I thought. But that was definitely a really good game for him. That was probably, I think, his best game of the season. So.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely one of his best games of the season, if not the best. So, you know, impressive to see that. And hopefully that can be back after he gets his confidence back against the Bucks, like we just tried to predict.
Yeah, and they really overcame what was a kind of mediocre Vic game. Was 6 of 15. He had 15 points. Like, that was probably Vic's worst. Not maybe his worst game against the Pistons when he was kind of hurt. But, you know, that was one of Vic's worst games. They overcame it pretty easily because Turner and Bojan. And that's what we thought we'd see from the team, where we'd, like, at that point in the season, we thought, oh, this Pistons is going to be an evenly distributed team where they're going to ride the hot hands. Then it kind of became, we're going to ride Vic for a month, basically in December. But, you know, maybe that's what they need to get back to. I think a little bit more of, I'm fine with letting Vic get 20 points a game, but there's sometimes you got to let other guys get to 20 or 30 and ride those guys some nights, so you don't run Vic to the ground or get him hurt like he did. You know, I think there's some truth to, because he played so many minutes at such a high intensity that's why he got hurt. So they got to figure out how to find, you know, a way to get Turner couple of 20-point games, Bowen a couple of 20-point games, Young even a couple of 20-point games. Sabonis has done it a couple of times already, but that's kind of thing they got to do, because they can't just keep riding Vic into the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And this game will be an interesting one, because the Heat have such good wing defenders. It'll be a good time to experiment with, you know, maybe Collison has a big game, or Thad, or like we already talked about, Turner, or someone off the bench, you know, could have a better game in this game than usual.
Yeah, and I think with the Heat, though, I think without Waiters, it's a big thing. I think Dragić will probably – well, he had a pretty bad game last time, but I think it's Dragić or Whiteside is going to have a big game for them if they're going to win at least. The Heat win.
Yeah, Dragić, let's call him the butcher, right? He's the guy that if he plays well, the Heat have a much significant, more significant chance of winning than if he plays like he did last time.
Yeah, he's going to have the Drummond type of game. I'm talking 15 and 15 kind of thing. Yeah. Which they have the stretch. Well, I guess Winslow's not playing, but they, what's their fourth guy right now? Are they starting? Who are they starting as a four now?
I believe it's James Johnson, who's pretty good.
Okay, so it's still that kind of stretchy four that Thad's in trouble with. I was trying to, I thought maybe they're playing on Linick. I know he had a big game a couple weeks ago. Maybe it's only a week ago now. It all kind of blends. But so that's still that stretchy four, and that's how the Pistons killed them. The Pistons just played that kind of small four that stood on the 3-point line and ran around, and that's how Thad got killed. So another game where Thad needs to be engaged on defense, which maybe he was hurt. Maybe he's not hurt anymore. I don't know, but he needs to play well too. I mean, he just needs to play. I don't think he needs to play well offensively. I think he needs to play well defensively. They're going to have a shot too.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, because of the way their bench is banged up, I think the bench is a big opportunity for the Pacers to take advantage here, although this game is in 2 days still. But yeah, Thad has a good opportunity again. And those guys like Tobias Harris, he seems to think – Tobias Harris, I'm comparing to James Johnson here. But he thinks he can bang him in the post more than he probably can. So, you know, maybe he should be stretching him out a little bit more away from the basket. But it's a good opportunity for him to at least show that he can take those guys on. And he did well against Tobias a few times.
Well, and part of it, too, is he doesn't really respect those guys' three-point shots that much, which is fine, I guess. But then he leaves them so wide open. They hit a couple. And then when they hit two or three, go down, a guy gets hot. I mean, Tobias Harris is like, he's a good three-point shooter. He's not like, you know, out of this world, but when he sees three shots go down in a row, he'll hit six in a row because it's that NBA mentality. So that's what I mean, is that he has to, you know, at the start of the game, prevent these guys from getting hot so they won't just ride, you know, a 21 point first quarter like Tobias Harris did.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, those guys are the guys that have killed the Pacers recently with his off ball defense, the Caitlin Cooper special, because she was the first person to point it out to me. So he is going to be crucial in this game.
Yeah, so we're both think they can win, though, right?
I definitely think they can, and I think I'm not going to go with they will. I think the Heat are a little bit tougher of a matchup than the Bucks are, just in the way that they play. Also, hang on. Oh, the Heat are on a back-to-back. They're in Toronto the night before.
And they're playing right now, too, as we speak.
They're at home against Utah. I think they just won.
They're down 5 with a minute 30 left, but by the time this is this podcast, you'll know what happened.
Yes, but they're in Toronto the night before, so that actually makes me way more confident than I was before.
Yeah, I think they win. Especially because the Heat will be down definitely at least Winslow and Waiters if who knows who else gets hurt. White just came back from injury.
And Magruder, yeah, yes. So I agree, and I think it'll be pretty substantial because of the back-to-back, and I think they can, you know, they handle the – like, obviously the Spo is good at guarding the threes in the basket, but because Turner's so good in the mid-range, I think they can – exploit the way he plays defense, and I think they can win pretty convincingly in this one.
Yeah, if Whiteside's forced to come out in front of the rim to guard Turner too, that opens up everything.
Yes, especially Oladipo. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, especially Vic. So, what's your game score?
I'm going to predict the same score that they had for both of their first two games: 114-96.
Ooh, that's a little high. I was thinking more like a 10-point win. I was going to go 108-98.
Okay. Yeah, we love 108. We should call this Lockdown 108, but...
Yeah, the 108 special.
Yeah, so I agree. I think that because of the back-to-back, I think they'll win this one. I think it would be a lot closer of a game if they weren't on a back-to-back.
Yeah, I didn't realize on back-to-back either, so that's going to be big.
That is big.
So maybe they turn it around. 22 and 19, that would be...
That'd be awesome.
And that, by the way, it's the same record the Pacers had last season, so you can take that for what it is. I think you look at that as a positive or a negative. There's two ways. Look at it. Well, I think they should be better than that. Or the other thing is, wow, this team traded away a top 15 player and is the exact same team as last season, which is
landed right on their feet.
Yeah, that's a positive, I think, to land on your feet and you trade that good of a player.
Exactly. I totally agree. And we will have the rest of the week preview out. We decided Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, and I think on Thursday we should do a mid-season.
Oh, that'll be 41, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be around. I think it might be. Yeah, they'll be at 41 exactly, actually. So we'll do that too. We'll do some of the same questions we had last time. It'll be a fun show.
That will be our longest episode probably ever between a Heat recap, midseason stuff, previewing two games. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, it depends how the Heat game goes. You know, if they blow them out by 30, we won't have to recap that much.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We'll see you then.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in today on this episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We hope you enjoyed our mailbag last week. We had fun interacting with people more often than we do. We'll have to do more of those in the future. As always, you can follow Adam at FriedmanAdam5. You can follow Indy Cornrows at Indy Cornrows. You can follow me at TEastNBA and the podcast at Locked On Pacers. We will see you guys tomorrow to recap the Bucks game. Hopefully the Pacers with Oladipo pull it out. See you tomorrow.